chapter number 1 once again as we continue on our journey through the book of 1 Peter, which is Hope During Trials. Tonight we're going to look at the message entitled So Great Salvation. So Great Salvation. You say, where do you get that title from? It's from in Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And what's going on here in this passage of scripture, remember, Peter is trying to strengthen the brethren, and he's been talking about being strong in a strange land, being strong because of hope, being strong during trials, being strong in love. And then here in verses 10 through 12, he just begins to describe how great of a salvation, or the greatness of our salvation, to this group of people. Remember, they're going through terrible suffering. They're going through terrible trials. They need something to grip onto. They need something to hold to. They need something to help establish their faith. And they could be shaken at any point because of all those things. But he was teaching them that their salvation is real and that they didn't have to fall off, that there was a reality, that there was a Christ. Christ came and has the power to save. Talked about how, you're going to see how the prophets, they looked into it and they sought after and diligently inquired and searched, and also about how the angels desire to look into it too. So it's kind of interesting phrase at the end of verse number 12 we're going to look a little bit at tonight. But let's go ahead and start in 1 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to start from the beginning of the chapter all the way down to verse number 12, maybe to help refresh your memory a little bit about the things we've been learning. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, once again, he was called by Jesus Christ to be the apostle. He wasn't by man's calling. To the strangers, and we talk about that strangers. It's talking about how if you're a Christian that's trying to live for God, you are never going to feel at home in this world. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Remember, when you're going through trials, God knows all about you. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he knew whether or not you're going to be a believer. And it's great to know that God knows who you are, and he saw what you're going to go through, and he's going to see you through it. Through sanctification of the Spirit, the growing as done by the Spirit of God unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, once again, this is the reason why he saves us. It's not how he saves us, but it's the reason why. It's by his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again. That's similar to the phrase of being born again. Unto a lively hope, referring to the fact that we have a living hope in Jesus Christ by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then it begins to describe what we have our hope in, the inheritance that we have. It's incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. If you're a Christian today, there is nothing you can do to take that inheritance away. Now, once again, you might not have as many treasures as somebody else has because you're not laying up treasures in heaven. But if you're saved on your way to heaven, nothing can change that inheritance that we have. Verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm thankful that I don't have to keep my own salvation. As I told you before, I'm not the greatest at keeping things. I lose things sometimes just because there's so many different things I have to get. I'm thankful that it's by the power of God my salvation is kept. And you continue on, and it says in verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. It must be something good if it's talking about greatly rejoicing, but no, it's talking about our trials. Though now for a season, referring to the fact that our trials only last for a period of time, if need be, referring to the fact that there is a purpose, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, talking about there's different types of trials you can have. Verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, okay, so we know what it is. It's something we just have to bear through. But the Bible says it's not that. It's being more precious than of gold and that perisheth. Talking about the trials that we are put through, they are more precious to us than anything that this world has to offer. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This is what we should be living for, looking for, expected the day we see Jesus Christ, when we stand before him, that we will not be ashamed, we won't worry about the things of this world, but instead we have been interested in the things of God. Verse number 8, who having not seen, ye love. We talked about last week how that unseen love, how it's possible. And we talked about the preeminence it should have in our lives too. And whom though now ye see him not yet believing, and that the love wrapped together with faith, it produces ye rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It comes to that spot where you're just overwhelmed. And if you love the Lord the way you should, and you live your life by the way, the faith that God has given, that we should have in God, that we will produce a life that is full of joy, that is unspeakable and full of glory. And, you know, there's a lot of things lacking in many Christians' lives today. And it usually has something to do with there's a love problem or there's a faith problem. They go hand in hand. Verse number 9, we stopped at last week, receiving the end of your faith. And this last phrase, even the salvation of your souls. So you can imagine that if we have such a great salvation. And I think this is wonderful going into our missions conference, even considering our anniversary Sunday. You know, the salvation we have is just great. And we consider, first of all, it's a salvation what? It's a salvation of our souls. And the value of a soul. And unfortunately, I know people today do not value human life like they should. I mean, unfortunately, they see so much violence on TV and abortions. You know, I was reading through a conservative spot, independent Baptist source, and they were saying that there was a lady who was a feminist who, when she found out that she was having a boy, said that she did not want to bring this curse upon the world, and she aborted the baby just because he was going to be a boy. And then she says, if it happens again, that I'm going to have a boy again, I'm going to abort the baby again till I get a girl because that's what I want. But that's sad. And she thought it was a curse to bring a man into the world. And I know sometimes ladies don't like men, but I mean, this lady had gotten to the point that she had openly said that she was going, that there's no value for life. But you know what? Our souls are valuable to God. And we're thankful for that. And even though there's many people out there in the world that do not value the souls of all these different flags and all these different countries there are, those souls matter to God. And that's why we preach and that's why we teach. And that's why tonight I'd like to help you guys remind you of a couple of things. The message tonight will probably be a little shorter than normal, but it's just to kind of remind us of we have such a great salvation. And that's what that first phrase, when it says the salvation of your souls, you know, our soul will spend eternity somewhere. This body of flesh is not going to spend eternity somewhere, but this, our soul, is going to spend eternity somewhere. Our body, our flesh, is going to die and go into the grave. I know it's going to be resurrected again. I get to all that. But it's our soul is going to live somewhere. The value of our soul is more valuable than anything in this world. And the salvation that He has offered to us is what's described here. And these are kind of neat verses. I think they're interesting. You see in verse number 10, of which salvation, now what is it talking about? The salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, here's the deal. It's in the Old Testament, they didn't understand everything that was going on. If you read here in verse number 12, it says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ. This is who they're searching. This is who they're asking. And it's interesting. Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, in the book of Isaiah, it's amazing. In chapter number 53, you hear about the sufferings of Christ. But in chapter number 11, it talks about the glory someday. And these prophets, they didn't understand the church age. It was the mystery time. The prophets didn't understand that Jesus was going to come, He was going to die, He was going to be buried and rise again for our salvation. But they didn't see, they also saw the glory of the Lord coming, talking about the Lord who was going to reign and king as a millennial king. So it's like, you can imagine it's two different mountaintops. You got one mountaintop here. The whole world was looking forward to the day the Messiah came. It was promised to Adam and Eve that someone was going to come, the Savior was going to come, and you know, from the beginning of time, or at least the beginning of the earth, that there's someone coming. And so He came, He suffered, and they prophesied that. We've got to remember, if you see what it says here, that it's the Spirit that's what's in them. It said in verse number 11, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Now, it was the Spirit of God that wrote the Bible. You know, the Spirit moved upon men. Isaiah did not know that Jesus Christ was going to die and that thousands of years later He was going to come and reign then. He didn't see that. He didn't know that. That's why they said He searched diligently. He inquired diligently about that. So you can picture it this way. They understood that there was going to be a time when He was going to have to suffer. And you can imagine this is Him paying the sin debt of all mankind. They got that. And they also knew that over here, there was going to be another mountaintop where He was going to reign and He was going to rule forever. And that is the future. If you imagine there's one mountain there and one mountain here, this is where we're living at. We live in a unique age. We see what happened back then. We saw that Jesus Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. And today we're looking forward to when Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to rule and he's going to reign. And that's what it's saying here. It's saying that these prophets, and they prophesied. How did they prophesy? Did they just write things that they thought was going to happen? No, that's why we know the Bible is inspired. That's why we know it's the Word of God. That's why we know it's such a great salvation, because we know the truth that's in it. Because these men didn't even understand exactly what they were writing. Instead, they wrote exactly what they were told, or they wrote as the Spirit of God led them. And there was going to be a time when there was going to be a sufferings of Christ, but also there was going to be a time when that the glory should follow. There's two different things here. And that's what Peter is telling this early church. You know, they're suffering and they're facing trials and temptations and testing, and they're looking for something to hold to. And Peter's saying, look, remember the prophets. They said that Jesus was going to suffer. They knew that was going to happen. What you're going through is not a surprise to God. And that it was something that was promised, something that was going to happen. The sufferings of Christ was going to happen. And the glory to follow is something we can look forward to. You keep on going. In verse number 12, it says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. So they were ministering the things that now that we hold dear, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. It's a different age, a different dispensation here that's happening. And he's saying, look, now it is reported to them by the Holy Ghost that's been sent down. Now, this last phrase at the end of verse number 12 is kind of interesting. Which things the angels desire to look into? I don't know. You use your imagination. A lot of people are fascinated with angels, and I think they should be more fascinated with Jesus Christ than they are with angels. But they're created beings. They have us. These are beautiful creatures, and they desire to look into this. You say, why would they desire to look into this? Well, I think it's unfolding. They're not omniscient. They don't know all things. All these things are unfolding right before their eyes. I think they must be amazed that God would take a vile, sinful, fleshly creature and send down God himself to die for these people and redeemed. And someday they are going to be in heaven and they are going to have a glorified body. I think they desire to look into this. You got to imagine, this is not for them. Salvation was not for them. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that had nothing to do with the salvation of angels. See, the angels, they didn't need salvation. Or those that had rebelled, there is no hope of salvation for them. This is what the prophets were looking forward to and looking into. And the passage deals with the desire of the angels. Their desire is not the desire of lust, but stooping down to look into an inquisitive way. God says something very striking in this passage. He speaks of the beautiful angels ministering before the Lord and being so overwhelmed the salvations of humans. And when it comes to spiritual things, we got to remember that there's two different groups of people. There are those who will be like the angels that will view and that will look and explore or look into salvation. And then those that will experience it for themselves. Sometimes there are people who will come to church over and over. They might even sing the songs and they might even look the truths and try to understand the truths, but never truly accepting Christ. They are people who are just like the angels. They're just looking into it. Salvation is nothing that they have experienced. But in our lives, if you're a Christian, it's a beautiful thing to remember that Jesus Christ came and died for us and we can experience salvation. There's a difference, a whole difference of eternity, there's an eternity of difference between examining God and experiencing God. And these beautiful angels are going to be in heaven forever. They are not part of the fallen race. They need not to be redeemed. On the other hand, there are many members of the fallen race who are like those angels in a sense that they have stooped down and looked into salvation. They've examined it. They've heard the songs. They've heard the stories. They've heard messages about the power of the Lord to save and transform lives. But they have never done anything more than just examine it. So tonight, three different things very quickly about how great of salvation that we really truly possess. Number one is the history of the world centers at the cross. The history of the world centers at the cross. You might say, well, where do you get that from? That's what the whole world has been looking forward to. Now, I know there are countries where the preaching of the Jesus Christ is forbidden. There's untold millions that know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ that we know. There is no denial of the fact that Jesus Christ still died for those people. The history of the world centers at the cross. It was looking forward to that day until when Jesus Christ came, He died, He paid the sin debt, and the history of the world meets at the cross of Jesus Christ. I think we made this mistake of portraying that Christianity is for certain people. It's for certain groups of people. It's a Western religion. You know, it's something that we need to take our religion and carry it somewhere. No, it's for all the world that Jesus Christ died. When the message of the gospel is carried to the other parts of the world, many of these people get the idea that we're taking the religion of the Western world to them, but every prophet of God who stood true to the word of God was a messenger crying out to all of humanity, Jesus Christ is coming. God is going to send His Son. Since the Lord Jesus gave Himself for us on the cross of Calvary, every messenger of Christ should call out and say, He came into the world, He bled, He died on the cross of Calvary, He was buried in a borrowed tomb, He rose again alive forevermore. And this is why it's such a great salvation. It's because it's for the entire world. And when you're looking at this passage of Scripture, the prophets, they prophesied it. The angels desire to look into it. It's great because it's all human history. Every single person that lives in one of these countries that you've never ever been to, God loved them, God loves their soul, and it is a message that should be carried to them. Second thing I want you to see is the message of Jesus Christ is the message of the Bible. The message of Jesus Christ is the message of the Bible. Now, some people will try to take the Bible, take certain passages of Scriptures, and try to emphasize them. I mentioned to you earlier, some people make a big deal out of angels. I tell you, the person we need a big deal out of is Jesus Christ. Some people will try to make a big deal out of demons, or out of Satan, or out of certain Bible characters. And, you know, we should study the Word of God. We should learn the Word of God. But Jesus Christ is the one that's the whole message of the Bible about. Is about. Christ is the message of the Bible. The Bible reveals to us the unfolding drama of redemption. The Bible started back in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In this first 11 and 12 chapters, we learn all about God. We learn all about ourselves. We learn who He is. He created us. He learned why we are the way we are, because we have sin. We have a sin nature. We learn that Jesus Christ is going to come into the world. We learn from Noah's flood much about our world. All those different things. God introduces Himself. And then in chapter number 12, God calls a man named Abraham. And what does He do with Abraham? He promises to send the Messiah through Abraham's line. So the Bible is written all then about the nation of Israel. Why is that? Because they don't care about other countries? No, because the Bible is written about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the message of the Bible. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself to us. Concerning Christ, there are two lines which run through the Bible. The first one is they talk about the sufferings of Christ. It's the Isaiah 53 passages. It's the Psalms 22 passages. When He suffered through us, that's what the one first line is. The second, it talks about the glory to come. It talks about when Jesus Christ is coming back. It talks about in Revelations. It talks about in 1 Thessalonians. It talks about in Isaiah. It talks about in Psalms over and over. Those are the two things that you see here in this passage of Scripture. And this is what the whole message of the Bible. These two lines are suffering and glory. As we read of His suffering and His glory, this crimson line of His suffering and the golden line of His glory is found throughout the whole Bible. Yeah. So, what's the big deal? If all of history is centered on Christ's coming, and all the Bible is centered on Jesus Christ's life, then our lives should be centered on Him too. And that's point number three, is the theme of our lives should always be the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want to seem like I'm trying to be foolish here, but, you know, if all of history was looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ was going to come and die on the cross, and that's what they were looking for, that's what they were hoping for, when the promised land, everything was pointing to that, everything was pointing, the tabernacle, everything was pointing to when Jesus Christ was going to come, all those lambs that were slain on the altars, the sin offerings, all those offerings, all those feasts, everything pointed to the day when He was going to come and die on the cross. And He died, He rose again, and He lives forevermore. Even the apostle thought then that He was going to come and He was going to reign. They didn't understand the church age, and that's what we live in now, the age of grace. And now you come all the way over here, what we should be looking for the day that Jesus Christ comes back. Our lives should be centered on it. If all of history is centered on Christ and His coming and the cross, and if all the Bible is centered on either Christ coming to the cross or Christ coming to reign, who are we to say that our lives shouldn't be centered on Jesus Christ? Our lives should be made up of it. We get so taken up with the things of this world, TV. I got to spend a little bit of time with some young people last night for a few minutes. And, you know, it was amazing what I heard some of them talking about. I didn't know them very well, so I just listened. And I guess the things they talked about, they had no consideration about God at all. It was just, they weren't saying bad things or anything like that. And I began to think, and they, no thought at all that someday they're going to stand before God. And we get wrapped up so much in our lives and trying to look for the next fun thing. And I like to have fun and trying to look for the next excitement, next pleasure, the next financial this or the next project or this or that. And we forget all about it. And once again, we can have fun in Christ, and we can have pleasure in serving Christ, and we can, you know, be projects in serving. I'm not saying that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Is how many of us really thought of Christ today? And if we did think of Him, was He really the center? And the truth is, most of us would say no. I mean, the prophets thought this was such a great salvation that it says that they were diligent. They diligently, it says in verse number 10, they inquired and searched diligently. They were trying to figure out about that grace to come. They even inquired, not of themselves, but of the Lord, of the Spirit of Christ, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. They were looking and trying to understand that Jesus Christ was going to die and that His glory was going to come. They were trying to figure that out. They did not have the completed Word of God. It kept their minds and their thought processes, and even the angels themselves desire to see what's going to happen. I don't know about you, but I've heard a message preached about the angel desire to look into. And I've heard, we had that cantata. I don't know if you guys remember that one cantata where it was the angel's perspective. I actually played the angel. I wore that bathrobe that was supposed to be an angel gown. And I guess it was a choir robe, not a bathrobe. But it kind of have a, it has a, don't call it a dress. And Mr. Mark picked on me a little bit. He says, hey, I see you got your dress on. And you know what he wore next year for the cantata? He wore a dress. And so he wore a robe, excuse me. But it gives the perspective, you know, the angels, they were there to protect Christ. They were there to minister Christ. If God would have just, if it would even have just been thought, the angels could have came down. That's what Jesus, when Peter pulled out that sword and tried to chop that guy's head off and miss and hit his ears, and Jesus was like, I could have called and all these legions of angels come. They were there, they were waiting, they were ready to take out us worthless, fleshly humans. And they are desire to look into how great a salvation is. They're trying to see how this is going to work out, how this is all going to happen, and how all this greatness and all this wonderfulness of our salvation is going to continue to play out in mankind. Can you imagine when the Son of Heaven, the glorious Son of Heaven, left that world and became a babe in human flesh, what the angels must have thought. And then to watch Him grow and learn, and to watch people abuse Him and to humiliate Him and to put Him to death. All those things. And He did it for mankind. I mean, if the angels can think, man, what their minds must have been blown. Why would that ever have happened? That's why the angels desire to look into it. They desire to know how this is all going to plan out. I can imagine sometimes angels would probably want to come and tell the message. I think they're probably more excited about the message than we are sometimes. I think they would say, hey, get out of the way. Let me do the preaching. You're not proclaiming it the right way. The heaven's more glorified than anything you can describe. Jesus Christ is greater than anything else. For Him to leave the glories of heaven, to come to this world, to die for a meaningless man, I mean, that is something they were excited about because they understood how great the salvation it is that we have. But we've come cold to it. It doesn't mean so much to us. I mean, the prophets, they were proclaiming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And nobody listened to them. They killed them. But they didn't stop because they were interested, because they knew that Jesus was going to come and there was going to be glory that followed. And the Bible goes on to say, but unto us that they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preached the gospel unto you, the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, we have been given the Holy Spirit of God. And this is the type of living that God desires for us. He wants us to have Holy Spirit living. The only type of preaching that God, that really works and makes a difference is Holy Spirit filled preaching. The only type of living that really makes a difference is Holy Spirit living. And if we would just learn what we have is so valuable. They have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. If we let Him live His life through us, how much a greater difference we would make. So you say, Pastor, what's the whole point of the message? And when I read it and I think of these prophets of old, and these are the Elijahs and the Daniels and the Ezekiels and the Isaiahs and the Jeremiahs, people that we looked up to, people we would say those are great, great men of God. If their interest was on Jesus Christ, if history's interest was on the cross and Him returning, if the angels even desire to look into it, and we had the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, we have something great. We have something that should be given to somebody else too. And then you go to verse number 13, and it's wherefore. It's, okay, since you have such a great salvation, since all these fantastic things are a possession of yours, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk more about that verse in a few weeks after missions conference. But we have a response. You know, we have a certain way we should live our lives. We need to gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Take things seriously. And hope. You know, there is so much. There's so much we have to be thankful for. We have a great salvation. And you know, you got that passage of scripture. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The prophets were interested in how it happened. The angels were interested in have it happen. How come we're not even willing to talk about it, think about it, or tell somebody else about it? Yeah. We have a great salvation. And tonight I pray that as we go to our houses, that number one, we'd be thankful for it. Number two, we realize that that great salvation was intended for every person that ever was created or ever born. And we need to have our part in telling the world about it. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.